Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This week on the Paracast, we welcome as our guest co-host, the one and the only Tim Swartz. Accept no substitutes. Tim, of course, has worked for a number of years with the late Tim Beckley. And may, because Beckley dealt with paranormal literature, may still be working with him. Tim, are you going to try to make an effort to break out the Ouija board or something to talk to Tim?
No. You know, it has been suggested by some people, not so much the Ouija board, but maybe, you know, some of these electronic devices like a ghost box. But I'm kind of the opinion that we should probably let Tim enjoy his travels on the mothership for now. I think in the future, if he decides that he wants to come back around and try to communicate with us here on the material plane, then I'll be welcome to that.
We have Ryan Sprague joining us this week. Ryan, had you had much of any encounters with Tim Beckley?
First of all, thank you, Gene, for having me again. And Tim, it's great to finally meet you digitally. Yes, I did. We would talk, over Facebook a lot, and him being a New Yorker, we always had stuff to talk about. So I miss him immensely. I value all of his work and research. I actually just got my hands on one of his original Men in Black magazines he did back in the day. So, again, I treasure everything he's done, and he's just another one of those gems in the field gone too soon.
I first encountered Tim when he was 13 and I was 15. Now, imagine knowing anybody for that many years.
I can't even imagine. You know, I always go back to our mutual friend Paul Kimball, who had a running bet with Mac Tony's back in the day, saying the first of us that kicks the bucket is going to come back to haunt the other. That's the deal. Paul will say on the record that Mac has kept that deal and he has done it many times. So, those are the true friends, the ones who apparently this mortal coil is not a boundary for them. So I hope, Gene, I can have a friend like that someday.
Jim Moseley has not contacted me, so maybe he wasn't such a good friend.
Yeah, he was a bit of an instigator and a jokester, so you never know. He might come back in the most tricksterish of ways.
Yes, definitely with Jim Moseley. He was such a character. We spent so many evenings just talking. He lived at a place in New Jersey near where I was living at the time. I lived down the street from him in an apartment building, and I drop over there, and he's got his bottle of whiskey. I don't drink, so I could never understand it. Had his bottle of whiskey there, had a joint in his hand, and he'd get more and more stoned and more wacky. Unless he was really bad, he could speak logically under all sorts of influences.
Interesting. Yeah, hey, whatever opens the doors to perception, I'm all for. I can't say that I've personally partaken in many of these ways of trying to communicate with the quote-unquote others, but I respect anyone willing to go to those lengths to do so. And again, that reminds me so much of my mentor, Peter Robbins, who is a New Yorker as well. And, we meet up here in the city at least once a month, talk UFOs, talk theater. Another big thing that Peter and I have always had in common is the live theater. I'm a playwright here in New York City when I'm not doing the whole UFO thing. And just spending those hours upon hours, for us, it was in a diner drinking really bad burnt coffee all the time and just talking about all this amazing stuff. So I treasure those sorts of friends and those memories. And some of the best moments of my life have happened in that diner over burnt coffee. So, yeah.
We've had some fascinating sessions with Peter Robbins here, of course. We interviewed him first, not so much about abduction is a big thing that he investigated, but the Rendlesham case, the fact that he became disenchanted with his co-author, who apparently was making stuff up.
Welcome to the world of ufology. And, you know, I can comment on that whole affair from the periphery. I was writing a play about the Rendlesham incident from the eyes of the supposed witness and Peter Robbins, the co-authors of the famous book Left at East Gate. And I was working directly with them on this. And then this entire debacle happened where we learned that the supposed prime witness may not have even have been involved with the incident. And like you mentioned, this was a real big eye-opener for Peter Robbins and was a big lesson, I think, for a lot of us out there, that you're going to be wrong in this field and you're going to be, you know, there's going to come times where you have to admit that you're wrong and admit that you've made mistakes. And I've taken that with me. And I think Peter's come out on the other side a better researcher and person for that. So while I wish that wasn't the case, I'm glad something good came of it.
So with regard to Rendlesham, what is your opinion as to what happened there? I look at it these days as some kind of military experiment. Same with Cash Landrum in the U.S. around the same time.
That's very interesting. You know, I had Nick Redfern on my show not too long ago talking about his book, The Rendlesham Conspiracy. You know, the more you look into it, the more it seems very plausible that we were dealing with something that could have been experimental. Were these men and women, these military personnel, under some sort of LSD experiment or holograms, as Nick has brought forward? I think there is some interesting documentation to that. We know that area in, you know, Suffolk, there's a lot of surrounding military activity around there as well, with some really covert things going on. So when it comes to Rendlesham, I change my mind every day. And you have one person saying it's us from the future, another saying it's aliens, another saying it's experiments. And just like always, Gene, I'm sure the true answers lie somewhere in between all of those.
Or all of them and not just one.
Exactly. Pick D, always D, all of the above.
I like that. All of the above, that works. What about Socorro, New Mexico? That, to me, could also have been some kind of experiment.
You know, that one, it really does conjure a lot of the images we're seeing now when it comes to the now famous Tic Tac UFO event. I mean, the craft look almost identical, save the enigmatic symbol that, you know, Lonnie Zamora has reported having seen on the craft. But again, another case where it is very possible that we are looking at some sort of advanced technology that clearly a police officer was not familiar with, and possible beings, whether otherworldly or human, some sort of, like I said, some sort of top secret project going on. The more I look at these, Gene, and, you know, I'm known mostly for my work with experiencers and those who have seen these things and witnessed them. But I will say, as time has gone on, a lot of these cases that a lot of ufologists have hung their hat on, I've grown very skeptical of. And I think that's a good thing. I think, you know, the more you get into this, the more you're searching for those true answers instead of what you hope it is, what you want it to be. And I think that is true for a lot of the cases that we hold so near and dear to our hearts. Everything from Rendlesham to Socorro to, you know, up until Chicago O'Hare. I'm not saying that all of them could be explained prosaically, but it's a door we should keep open, always, always.
Well, that's the thing I wonder about all these Naples sightings. Because the first thing that comes to my mind is not that ET is here, but we're seeing some kind of experiment. But because they don't want to reveal what they're testing, they leave this elaborate scenario. So the whole thing may be disinformation. Think about that, folks. The Pentagon UAP Task Force report, all the new interest in UFOs. We like to think, hey, this is going to lead us to ET or something. Maybe it's done to mess with the minds of the folks in China and Russia and Iran. and all that politics. And Ryan Sprague is joining us. His book is called Somewhere in the Skies. He's got a 2020 edition. We'll ask him about the changes. Tim Swartz is our guest co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Our guest co-host Tim Swartz is learning the ropes, talking about the Paracast. So I was suggesting here in this chatter back and forth with our guest Ryan Sprague, that maybe at least some key sightings are test aircraft and some court experiments. Do you have some questions further on this, Tim?
In regards to Rendlesham, I would really hate to think that, considering that at the time the UFO incidents occurred there, because considering that that was a base that contained nuclear weapons, that they would go, the government, whomever, would go and be conducting some kind of mind manipulation experiment at this location. I'm not saying that it's outside of the possibility. The research that I've done over the years, get MK Ultra and situations like that. But I could see it happening more on a smaller base that didn't have the possibility of an accidental nuclear apocalypse. Cases like Socorro, that one, there was a theory that came out maybe about 5 years ago that it was a hoax perpetrated by a local college using balloons and students dressed in aluminum foil and things like that. That one always has been a favorite case of mine. And so I'm going to stick to my guns that something unusual happened there outside of a possible, government or experiment or a hoax by drunken college students.
But Sam, you bring up a good point, and we're seeing this mirrored in the Navy incidents of today, is this idea that our military would never do some sort of test like that because it would endanger our pilots. It would endanger our personnel on the ground guarding these nuclear ordnance. And, we're asking the same questions as we did back then as we are today. Would they do that? Would they put these multi-million-dollar aircraft in jeopardy to test something? And, while I can't pretend to have an answer for that, I do think it is possible. But yeah, again, we're asking the same questions as we did of a case that happened in 1980 and the lengths in which our military would go to do that. And it does make you wonder when you look at something like today, where supposedly the Air Force were the ones to come onto the Nimitz carrier during the Tic Tac event and take the radar blocks from the personnel on the ship there and say, we're taking these and we'll see you later.
That was the Air Force? Because I know Gary Voorhees, one of the people who was involved in that encounter, said on the Paracast that they came down in a helicopter but never seemed to specify the agency. Do we know for certain it was the Air Force?
Interesting. I do believe you are correct. I do recall Gary saying that they did not have proper uniforms on that would indicate they were Air Force. But I have spoken to several of the other people that were on the carriers as well and witnessed these individuals and believe they saw some sort of Air Force insignia. Now, I cannot 100% confirm that, Gene, obviously. But it is something I think we need to look at is would another military branch be doing a test on the Navy? And the more I look at what our military is capable of, the more I'm like, yeah, I think they would take that chance. I honestly do. Not so much the expendable lives of the pilots, but the actual craft they're flying and how expensive they are would be the biggest risk. So, again, the answer probably lays somewhere in between all of it, and it's dizzying. It truly is.
You see, I worry about some of the things that have come up around it. Number one, of course, Tom DeLonge and this nonsensical To the Stars Academy for Arts and Sciences, which is a mixture of absurdity, but he got people like Christopher Mellon and Luis Elizondo involved before they left. And we're also looking here at a rock star with an inflated degree of self-importance. He seemed to think he knew everything about UFOs, but I've never seen in the writings I've heard of him say anything pertinent.
So this entire To the Stars Academy thing is obviously intriguing, especially to a lot of us younger people who grew up with Tom DeLonge. I've been to countless Blink-182 concerts in my teenage years with all my friends, and he was an icon to us. He truly was. And, when I found out he was into UFOs as well, he became even more of an icon. And I remember distinctly being at the UFO Congress and, chatting it up with a couple people there. And in the corner is this tall, lanky dude in the shadows. And lo and behold, it was Tom DeLonge. And I asked everyone, what's he doing here? And, the conference organizer said he's very interested in UFOs. He's really into it. And he's got some big plans. And lo and behold, I think it was a year later when we learned everything about To the Stars and the New York Times article came out. But you're right, Gene. You have an individual who, on the surface, to many who don't know what he's done in the music industry and whatnot, he comes off as kind of a goofball. And is that the poster child you want for ufology? I know a lot of people would beg to differ on that and struggle with that. But hey, there's no denying that he made some waves and he really got the topic out there. And no matter what you think about him or his personal beliefs, he really shook up the conversation and got a lot of new people interested in a topic that they probably never would have thought about before. So again, I don't think we should be idolizing these individuals or believing everything they say, but I think we need to appreciate what they've done and what they hopefully will continue to do in many different ways.
Kind of sad that John Lennon never did much about UFOs except for the line in one of his songs.
Exactly. I always walk by the Dakota thinking about his UFO sighting as well.
When my wife was working with some arrangers in New York to set up a nightclub act, we'd always pass the Dakota and wondered whether we'd see John and Yoko walking outside. What a strange time, what a strange world that was. But the point being here that because a rock star happens to believe in UFOs, and we can name a number of them, it doesn't mean anything. Now, obviously, Tom DeLonge tried to do something more with this To the Stars Academy, but the fact that his key people left doesn't augur well for the accomplishment. And I was given an understanding he was trying to move back into music.
Yeah, I mean, I am wearing a T-shirt of Tom DeLonge's other band, Angels versus Airwaves. And, he's one of these guys, Gene, and I'm sure a lot of rock stars are this way. They kind of get tunnel vision on one thing, and then they get interested in another thing. And that's kind of always been Tom DeLonge's MO. He gets very passionate about something. He starts a side project. He does it, or he moves on. And you know what I think we're seeing is he had all these huge, ambitious ideas of what he wanted this To the Stars Academy to be. He compiled his team of advisors, which was very credentialed and interesting, and made some waves with it. But, I think he always goes back to the other true passion in his life, and that's music.
Ryan Sprague, Gene Steinberg, Tim Schwartz, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The world is marking the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. President Biden and former Presidents Obama and Clinton attended the ceremony at the National 9/11 Monument in New York City. Mike Lowe's daughter was on the first flight that hit the World Trade Center.
These 20 years have felt like both a long time in a short time. And as we recite the names of those we lost, my memory goes back to that terrible day when it felt like an evil specter had descended on our world.
Foreign leaders sent messages honoring the fallen in the attacks. Citizens from more than 90 countries were also lost on that day. There was also an event at the Pentagon. A bell was rung as each name of the 184 people who died was read aloud. This is USA Radio News. For the first time in the Texas mask wars, Attorney General Ken Paxton is suing 6 school districts that have defied Governor Greg Abbott's ban on local masking orders. He said the schools were doing unlawful political maneuvering. The governor's executive order bars local officials from compelling people to wear masks. Until this week, Abbott and Paxton have been on defense as several school districts, cities, and counties in this state's major metropolitan areas have sued over the order or just outright ignored it. Some 85 school districts and 6 counties have instituted mask mandates of some kind in defiance of Abbott's ban, citing the need to protect school children too young to get the vaccine amid the spread of the highly contagious Delta variant of COVID-19. Abbott had called on Texas lawmakers to send him a bill that would definitively stop school officials from requiring students, teachers, and other school employees to wear facial coverings. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Tim Swartz has become an expert on doing the Paracast, and he's going to have a lot more to say. But we mentioned, of course, rock stars being interested in UFOs and sometimes making a few waves like Tom DeLonge did. But as you say, he gets interested in something and the interest doesn't last, doesn't persist. One of the things I wish we had done, but we didn't know about it when the Paracast was founded, was get a classic 60s rock star named Reg Presley on the Paracast when he wrote a book on crop circles and UFOs. Problem, of course, is he died before we heard about it. Reg Presley, by the way, was lead singer of the Troggs. And of course, their big hit was Wild Thing. Wild Thing, written by Chip Taylor, who of course is the brother of John Voight, and was co-owner of a recording studio in Westchester County, New York. And don't ask me why I mentioned that, except my wife used to do some stuff there. Anyway, we never met him. I talked to him on the phone a couple of times, Chip Taylor. But Reg Presley was typical of some 60s rockers who were into UFOs. Another Tommy James, of course.
It is interesting, the parallels, I think, between the music world and this topic. You look at someone like Tim Beckley, or you look at, there's going to be a show coming out in the next few weeks from Demi Lovato, the big pop star, who has a huge interest in UFOs, and went out there to investigate. And this happens, you know, decade after decade. Post Malone is another one who recently went to Skinwalker Ranch and investigated there, you know, having had a UFO sighting in my hometown of Syracuse, New York, where Post Malone was born as well. He's always had a keen interest in this topic. Or, again, you look at someone like Peter Robbins' sister, Helen Wheels, the famous punk rock singer. There just seems to be something intrinsically linked between this topic and those in the rock and roll sphere. And I do wonder, is this some sort of connection with artists that these phenomena tend to gravitate towards, or vice versa? I don't know, but it's a question worth asking.
Well, Tim Beckley, as we know, knew some rock stars, and Tim Swartz will tell us, although I know, the name of the rock star that used the term Mr. UFO to refer to Beckley. Tim, who was that?
Oh, yeah, that was Ace Frehley from Kiss.
Nice.
The story goes that Tim was backstage, and Frehley didn't know Beckley's name, so he just shouted out, "Hey, here comes Mr. UFO," and the name stuck.
If I ever get that moniker of Mr. UFO, I feel like I will have finally made it in this strange community we call UFO Twitter.
Do you really want to be called Mr. UFO, though?
Not yet. I still, Gene, pride myself on being one of the younger people in the field, but hey, I'm not feeling it much anymore, man. I can tell you that much. I'm not one of the young ones, and that's actually kind of exciting to me as well, is seeing younger people getting involved in this topic. And look, if that had anything to do with Tom DeLonge and all this, the stuff he did, like, good on him. I've been trying to get younger people advocating for that to get involved in this topic for half of my young adult life. It's exciting to see the new community cropping up and getting along for the most part with a lot of what we consider the quote-unquote old guard of ufology. But, you know, you will always have that gap between. And I tend to be, I think, that person right between the millennials and everyone who's now getting interested and the old guard. It's exciting times. I'm able to look at it from both ends of the spectrum.
Well, you know, I think that we can lay some of the blame for younger generations becoming interested in UFOs onto reality television. Now, I know that I've gone and bashed some of these shows at times, but I think that if it wasn't for a lot of these programs that has come up over the years, now I know, you know, people like myself, we had Leonard Nimoy's show and some of these other ones, you know, the X-Files, some people will say, got us interested. But now we have new generations who have seen these shows. So maybe there is something going on out there.
Yeah, Tim, and that's such a good point. And hey, man, I bash those shows too, and I'm on them. That's a sort of Jekyll and Hyde thing I struggle with every day. You know, I did a show called Mysteries Decoded, which is on the CW network, which is primarily a very young demographic, like ages, gosh, 13 to like 22, and mostly female. Look, they asked me to do a show on their network about Roswell, and I said, oh God, what could possibly be left to be said about the Roswell incident? And the more I got involved with the show, and I realized, oh, we're introducing this case to an entire new generation who's probably never even heard of the Roswell UFO crash. So right then and there, I'm like, there we go. That's going to be a whole new demographic of people who now know about the Roswell incident, can now go digging for themselves and find all of the information about it. So I think there is something to be said about some of these shows, entertainment or infotainment, as we like to call them, having a beneficial approach to this topic, again, getting younger people involved, but at the same time, muddying the waters as well when it comes to the entertainment aspect of it. And that, hey, look, that's Hollywood. I don't think anyone should be getting all of their information from any of these television shows. I think you should be listening to guests. You should be reading books and find that, you know, again, the answers always lay somewhere in between all of it.
The CW, by the way, is, I think, starting to reach an older audience. And the reason I say that is because you have, for example, Supergirl, which I think reaches not just teens, but older people as well. And some of their themes relate to some of the current news themes like immigration. It's very big on Supergirl. They deal with it by having the immigrants be aliens from other planets. And then, of course, there's Superman and Lois, where you have Superman after he's been doing this for 20 years. He's a man in his late 30s or 40. He's been married to Lois Lane for years. They have two teenage sons. And it's a mixture of a family drama and a more adult superhero conflict where the special effects and even his uniform is taken from Zack Snyder's Man of Steel. So that's another thing about the CW. It is possibly just growing older with its audience, but also catering to that other group of people like oldsters like me. But we consider the ages of the people that we deal with. Like last week in the show for which Kurt Collins was co-host, we had Jacques Vallée. Jacques is 83. I mean, you wouldn't believe it when you talked to him. He's 83. Ryan Sprague is how old?
Let's go with late 30s. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Okay, so you're less than half the age of Jacques Vallée. And I'm probably close to twice your age.
Well, and hey, but these are the things that bring us together, Gene. You know, I've always had a mutual respect for you, for Jacques, and in age truly doesn't matter. It honestly doesn't. One of my best friends in the world is Peter Robbins, who, again, is twice my age, but you would never think that when you hear us having these conversations at the diner about alien abductions. And I love that. And I think the big thing, the important thing you bring up about things like Superman and kind of what the CW is going for in their programming these days is inclusivity. And using that theme and how it's always sort of been there. I mean, you go back to H.G. Wells and War of the Worlds, and it was kind of the same idea of an other coming and us fearing that and not knowing what to do or how we would react. And at the time, you know, this was something H.G. Wells was dealing with when it came to colonialism and what he was trying to portray with that story. And we've seen that played out in Superman. And we see that play out in the modern day version of Roswell on the CW. They have a fictional show is a reboot of the 90s version. And it's the same thing. It's about an immigrant family who lives in New Mexico and is dealing with other immigrants from another star system.
We've got Ryan, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay, whale, whale, whale! Oh, no, whale!
Tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
Ryan Sprague is author of Somewhere in the Skies, and what that means is it's a second edition of the book, which is published 4 years after the first. In putting the new version together, what changes did you make?
The only time I ever bought like a second edition of a book was in college, you know, when you were forced to buy the third, fifth, tenth edition of a book and spend your life savings. That was kind of always in the back of my mind when I decided to do this second edition. I wanted to make it worth people's time. So the first book came out in 2016 through Richard Dolan's publishing company, and I was still very new to the field. You know, a lot has happened since 2016 and 2020, you know, specifically the entire New York Times story and how that really changed the perception of this topic in the mainstream. So I wanted to revisit that entire thing, this change in how the public looks at this topic, and infuse it into the book. So in the first book, you know, I interviewed hundreds of witnesses and claimed experiencers and how these events impacted their lives. So in the new version, I revisited a lot of the older stories and wanted to see what's changed. You know, a lot of the times we hear about these events and then that's it. We never hear about it again. We never see the growth or the exploration of the individual who's had this experience. So I wanted to focus on that in the new one. I wanted to bring new cases to the table. And ultimately, I wanted to introduce the world to some of these people involved with these Navy encounters, specifically Kevin Day, the chief radar operator during the Tic Tac event, and how this event impacted him as a human being. Not so much a Navy or military person, but as a human. That was always the focus of my work, is focusing on the people having the experiences, how they interpret it, how they integrate it into their lives, and, you know, ultimately what that might say about the phenomena we're dealing with. So the book came out last year, and it was 80,000 new words, practically a new book, and I'm just so happy that it was so well received, and I'm still getting emails some year later about it with new people coming forward and feeling empowered to finally tell their UFO stories. So I feel like I've contributed something to the UFO topic.
You have a different publisher this time.
I do. I'm working with a newer publishing company called Beyond the Fray, and it's been amazing. So much freedom to really explore what I want and they do a lot of similar things. You know, they've worked with cryptozoologists, paranormal investigators, ufologists, you name it, they're covering it. It's a new company, but one I'm really proud to kind of have been on the ground floor with. So, yeah, I'm excited to keep working with them.
I'm looking here now that you bring up this company as to potential guests for future episodes.
Absolutely. They have a plethora of authors who I'm sure would love to explore these topics with you. And again, like I know the Paracast steps outside of the realm of UFOs all the time. And I think that's refreshing and important. We get so focused on this one thing, UFOs, that I tend to forget there's a lot of other weird stuff going on out there. And it might possibly even be connected. Who's to say?
It might be. I'm just looking at the titles of the books here. Like, for example, Phantom Black Dogs, Walkers of the Liminal Way. Whoa. Winged Cryptids. Huh.
Really interesting. And again, you know, I talked to a 14 researcher a couple weeks ago who made some really interesting connections between those witnessing UFOs and then having sightings of winged humanoids or poltergeist activity in their home after having had a UFO sighting hours prior. So, again, you truly have to wonder, are they related or is this all just by chance? I tend to think there's something linked between all of this stuff going on.
I love the stories that you uncovered for your book. How did you go about uncovering these people? Because the majority of them just really seem to be just, you know, your average, you know, Joe on the street who not interested in publicity or anything like that.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate that. I really went out of my way to bring new cases. You know, there's very few cases in either of the editions of the book that have really been out there, that they haven't been on TV. They haven't been in books. So this was brand new to a lot of readers and researchers into this field out there, as it was for the witnesses as well. I the big thing that I wanted to make clear to these people in the book is I want to use your real name. And that's tough for a lot of people, you know. Pseudonym is the buzzword in ufology, and it always sort of has been for many. But these are people who are willing to put their reputation on the line and put their real names out there and say they saw something. And like you said, these are people in all walks of life. I went all over the country meeting these people, or, you know, I'd meet them on Skype or email and, you know, have endless conversations into the night. So it really was a mix of how I came to them or they came to me. But the thing I always focused on was, you know, new cases, new stories, and contributing something new to the overall conversation. So, yeah, that was a big rewarding experience for me, not only hearing these stories, but just meeting new people. That's something I love about this field. You know, we might never truly get the answers, but we meet some incredible people along the way who might just open our eyes to something we've never really looked into.
There was one case in Cayuga Falls, Ohio, at a drive-in that was particularly fascinating to me because I've heard this same scenario come out before in other cases. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that one?
Sure, yeah. I mean, this is actually one of my favorite cases that I cover in both editions. That one happened to a gentleman named Scott Santa. He was a radioman in the Coast Guard. And back in 74, he had a very dramatic Delta-shaped or Chevron-shaped UFO sighting over a drive-in movie theater, of all places. And like you said, I've come across many other cases where this happened as well over a drive-in movie theater. And, you know, the first time I heard his story, it really stunned me. You know, they're in this big parking lot, and this craft comes over the theater. All the electricity goes out. No one's cars would start. Very close encounters of the third kind going on. And this thing floated over the parking lot of the theater and disappeared into a, you know, a field off in the distance. Boom. All the lights come back on. People's cars start. But the thing about this case, Tim, that really struck me was the reaction by those who saw this. Nobody did anything. No one left. No one talked about what just happened. Everyone just kind of got in their cars, watched the movie, and it was almost as if the event never happened. And that really struck me when I talked to Scott. Like, what are you talking about? Nobody, like, did anything about it? And he's like, dude, I didn't remember this thing happening till many years later. I saw, like, a UFO picture on a book, and it triggered the memory, and it all came back. So, of course, you know, being an investigator, I said, well, I need to talk to other people who saw this. I only have your word that this happened. And he could not provide that. He nobody else came forward. There were no reports in the newspapers about this thing happening. So it was tough, man. And you run into that all the time in this field of no corroborative evidence or witnesses to an event. So all I had was Scott's word on this until the updated version of the book. After someone read about his story in 2016, I got an email from a woman who was in the same area, same time, and says she saw what Scott saw. So again, if that's all that comes from putting that book out, is a witness finally can say, I'm not crazy. I didn't make this up. I saw something extraordinary, and I can talk to someone else about it. There you go. Just someone to relate to.
Well, having, of course, another witness gives you a better flavor of what really happened, because you have different people with different interpretations, and sometimes they can be vastly different.
Absolutely. And, you know, the big thing about this case was both this woman who came forward many years later and Scott is that they didn't remember it happening, Gene. There was like this instant amnesia. And we've heard this in many other cases as well. I spoke to a few witnesses of the Phoenix Lights who had a similar experience. They saw what they perceived to be a V-shaped craft, and then it just disappeared out of their memory. They didn't remember it until years later. So you do have to wonder what's going on. What sort of control mechanism, as Jacques Vallée would say, do these craft or these intelligence possess where they can immediately say, yep, we're floating over you, but damned if you're going to remember it happening.
Hey, we got more to come with Ryan Sprague and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special
DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.